Worship with children. Bless you all for turning up to this seminar. Let's just get this out in the open, okay? We all know about the post-lunch flag, okay? Everybody just relax. Or maybe get a coffee and then relax. Or you know, whatever it is. I'm going to be sharing some thoughts and singing some songs as well, which will hopefully wake you up if you do fall asleep. And hopefully I'm hoping that there'll be some time for Q&A at the end as well. It's a real privilege to be with you all today. I've really got so much respect for everyone in kids ministry and just so much joy in knowing all about what you do. Just a bit about me. My name's John Murphy. I've been the worship director at St. Paul's Ealing for 6 years now, but I've been on the worship team for nearly 10, and in that time I've led kids and family songs in some of our Sunday services, as well as leading worship in the kids groups at church. And I've had the absolute joy of helping to lead the worship at Groundbreakers, which is the 5 to 8 year olds group at New Wine in Shepton Mallet in the summer. That's usually about 750 kids, along with 150-odd predominantly teenage volunteers helping them out. And we're journeying together with God during the week. In fact, I was just chatting to someone at lunch about how amazing it is to get kids alongside teenagers and how they look up to them. And so that's, you know, it's an amazing thing. Anyway, this summer's going to be my fifth one doing that at Groundbreakers. And I can honestly say, without a hint of irony, it is the highlight of my year as a worship leader. It really, just the, what you see God doing and just the fun that we have. And, you know, when you've got like 800 kids screaming at you to play faster, it's just, I love it. As well as seeing God at work. So just a disclaimer, obviously, singing is not the only way to do worship. There are plenty of other ways that I've had plenty of profound times engaging in worship. Doing other things, whether it's drawing or you know, creative stuff, writing your own psalm, getting kids to write their own thank you lists to God, for example. But since you've come along to a seminar about worship, I'm assuming you don't mind if most of what I say is from the perspective of a worship leader. And I want to be honest at the beginning of this about as a worship leader. I've gone to lots of conferences about worship, and I find those really helpful, and you know, I get really fed by those. But it's easy to grow quite cynical if you go to too many seminars with sort of big name worship leaders, and you know, the ones that write the big arena worship songs, and then they come and do seminars about, oh, here's how you take it to your home church. I'll just be absolutely honest. I don't know your church. I don't know your story. And grown-up worship is a very broad arena with so many different hymns and styles and theological positions and opinions about instruments and rhythm and harmony and speed and volume and repetition and, you know, how much of each of those is appropriate. Leading kids of every generation in any kind of worship is something I'm still learning lots about. And I wouldn't call myself an expert by any means, but today I hope to leave you encouraged and maybe with an idea or two, whatever style or size of service that you lead. Just a scripture that might be helpful as we come to look at the subject together. You all know the token scriptures, the ones that everybody goes to about children in the Bible. Proverbs 22:6, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they'll not turn from it. If you're a certain age, like me, you'll know that this verse was, of course, famously paraphrased by the late, great, eminent theologian Whitney Houston, who said, I believe the children are our future, teach them well and let them lead the way. You're going to have that song on the brain all day, I'm so sorry. But it's like Rick was saying earlier, you know, we commend the goodness of God to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And that's so much of what we're about. Now, many of the worship leaders that I've met have admitted that they find kids' songs a little daunting. They're serious about what they do, and they're often not sure that they can find it in them to be not serious, shall we say. And kids sung worship is, yeah, often, but not always, highly energetic to play and sing and dance to, because kids are. You know, they're often highly energetic and very switched on and inquisitive about everything. But what I've learned from my time leading worship with kids is pretty much, I can boil it down into two fairly simple factors. And these two things stir my heart just about more than anything as a worship leader, as someone who longs to see God at work changing lives and restoring society and building towards what we pray all the time in the Lord's Prayer, His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So I'd like to just sum those two ideas up for you, first of all, and then I'd like to try and unpack some of my musings and experiences on those two things, and I hope that in some small way you'll find that helpful, either practically or in terms of ethos. So here we go. The two things that I've most come to believe about what kids' worship could look like, should look like. Truth. Share the truth with the kids. Tell them what you know. Tell them what it is about God that you most need them to know, without patronizing them, but do it in a language that they can understand and that they resonate with. And secondly, have as much fun as you possibly can doing number one. There you go, that's it. I thought it would be interesting, actually, by just to kind of get to know you a little bit better. Do any of you, are any of you musical? Do you, any of you do worship? In your show of hands? Okay, a couple of you, three of you, a few of you. Okay. Yeah, great, okay. Well, let's just brainstorm some ideas around this first part. When I say sort of share the truth with the kids, tell them what it is that you most want them to know. What is it that we most want kids to know? God loves them. I'll watch that next time. Any others?
Jesus died for them.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Our God is a good God, a big God.
Yes.
I think you'll find he's both.
Jesus died for them.
He died for them.
And that it's going to be all right in the end.
That you can talk to God anytime you like.
He answers when you pray to, when they pray to him. He loves children.
He loves children.
Yes.
He loves us all.
God protects them.
Sorry, I missed that one. Okay.
They're unique, and that's just how God made them.
I know you probably can't read this.
They're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
They can do stuff for God right now.
Amen.
Don't worry, they're all valuable.
He's their father.
You are not alone.
He listens. God hears you. He listens.
He hears you. Yeah. Let's take one more.
God has a plan for you.
God has a plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. God loves you. Jesus is amazing. He died for you. It's all going to be all right in the end. You can do stuff for God right now. God has a plan for you. Our God is big and good. He made you unique. You can talk to God anytime you like. He hears you. He answers when we pray. He loves children. He protects them. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He's your father. You are not alone. That's, you know, it's so simple in so many ways, but so profound, the gospel. 1 Peter 2 says that like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Now, he's talking to a sort of a church in its infancy, really. Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. And I think we underestimate the power of milk and what it does for us when we're young. It's essential for strong bones. It's a strong foundation. I've got a 2-year-old son. Well, he's nearly two. And so his dependence on milk in his early stages is quite fresh in my mind. Fundamental, essential growth is done with these things, this truth. And we often downplay that in the church. You know, we need deeper teaching. I understand John 3:16. I need deeper teaching. Actually, the more that I go on trying to be a Christian, the more I find that I need John 3:16, the more I realize how much I need it. And of course, but that is profound, isn't it? Isn't that just, wow. Of course, the aim is to talk about all of these things in a language that kids understand and that will resonate with them. But it's not just that we're going to pick out scriptures by rote then. Scripture's a wonderful thing, but we can pick it apart. We can unpack it. We can test it. We know from Scripture that we can do stuff for God right now. We know that God loves us. We know it's going to be all right in the end. We know that He answers when we pray. There are scriptures that point to that. They might not all be there by rote, but you'll be amazed at what your own heart learns about God when you unpack those things from the things that are in the Bible. One of the first times that I really learned that, I think. The kids pastor at our church a few years ago, we used to have a kids pastor called Simon Parry, who you may have heard of. He's written loads of songs. He's got a great ministry called All Stars. He just wrote these really simple but kind of infectious, poppy kids songs. And you know how a lot of worship songs will say, I worship you, I offer you my life. These quite big statements. And Simon Parry had a song that the chorus just went, I'll do my best for you. I love that. I'll do my best for you. That's an unpacking of I worship you, but it just speaks to me so much. Just a practical thing, just to break with that a second. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the relationship between worship leaders and kids pastors. Worship leaders, musicians, get alongside your kids pastors. And kids pastors, get your worship leaders involved. Get them on board. If you're choosing kids songs together, some of you, I don't know, may even be writing kids songs for the church. And if you're considering that, make sure you get alongside each other and get alongside the kids pastor if you're a musician. Because even when kids pastors aren't particularly musical, or when kids helpers aren't particularly musical, they're going to have wisdom about the things in the songs that really resonate with kids and encourage them to sing along. And many of them are things like that. We're really blessed at St. Paul's. We've got two kids pastors that work together, and they're called Abby and Bree, and they are my heroes. I mean, they're both younger than I am, but I want to be like them when I grow up. You know, they're just, in fact, Abby's married to Johnny, who is our youth pastor. And just the two of them, they're so young. They're in their early 20s, but they just get it in a way that I didn't. I actually didn't become a Christian until I was 23. So I just look at these guys and go, wow. So many ideas about, so much enthusiasm for God and so much love for him and so many ideas about how to take things forward. And of course, you know, they have as much of a say as we do, if not more, about the song choices in our kids' groups. And they know when repeating the same songs regularly is helpful. And they know when songs are getting tired. And I also run a lot of my songwriting ideas past them when I'm writing, which I find fantastically helpful because I often find that I've been a little too wordy when I'm writing songs. I'm a very wordy guy. And they have a gift for helping me simplify a line so that it's singable but still conveys the kind of thing that I'm trying to say in a way that's fun and clear. And I'm going to take a break at that point just to play you a song that illustrates that, I think. Well, I'd like to think it does. So this was taken from... I also realized that my guitar went out of tune this morning and I haven't looked at it since. That'll do you. Let's go in A. So this was... This was a meditation on Psalm 139, which I had at my wedding. And where the psalmist says, "Where can I go to hide from your spirit? You know, you're always there. Wherever I go, you're always with me." And just sort of celebrating that truth. Not the first time that that's happened. It's just celebrating that truth, really. And when it sort of, it just sort of occurred to me that how would I communicate God is always with you to kids? And we ended up kind of, my wife and I ended up with coming up with a load of sort of transport metaphors, and it just seemed to work. So this is my attempt at communicating a particular truth about God. To kids in a way that they would understand and find fun and chime with. And this is called Never Far Away Ever. I could hike for miles and miles up the biggest mountainside. Swim far across the ocean, I wouldn't find a place to hide. I could get in a great big sports car and win the longest race. Or even ride on the fastest rocket into outer space. But Jesus, you're never far away ever because you love us so. You know all about everyone ever, and you love us so, 'cause you came all the way. You came all the way from heaven to earth, because you love us so. Whoa. Whoa. I could be on a roller coaster whizzing round and round, zooming off on a tube train tunnel deep under the ground. Fly up. Now, that bit about the tube train tunnel, there are a couple of kids at my church that loved that, and I wasn't expecting it. We've got this like 6-year-old, and he's just obsessed with tube trains. I just thought I'd share that with you. So when we started doing this song, he was like, yes! Dive right down in a submarine to the bottom of the sea. Fly up high in an aeroplane, but you won't lose sight of me. No, Jesus, you're never far away ever, because you love us so. You know all about everyone ever, and you love us so, cause you came all the way, whoa, you came all the way, whoa, from heaven to earth, because you love us so, whoa, whoa. So that's how that goes. Thank you very much. You're very kind. We've been talking about then worship so far that communicates well with kids. That's what we've been thinking about so far, and how we might put that in languages that they understand, and just things that really chime with them. It's one thing to understand it, but you know, if you can say, look, this is how fast you can go, this is how far you can go, and put it in pictorial terms, that can be really helpful to some of them. The next thing I want to say is the other side of that coin. Don't underestimate just how much kids can understand. Some of you were waiting for me to say that. Matthew 21 says that when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David. The children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? You see, it's often the children who see Jesus most clearly for the wonder that he is. How true that's been in my life and in my ministry. We adults can put so many other things on it. You know, what the coffee's like that morning, what the worship, what the sound is like that morning, what the sermon is like that morning. It's not that we don't see Jesus, it's not that we don't meet God in those things, but it's amazing how receptive children can be to him, to his presence. Kids' worship is well known for good reason for being bouncy, 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 fun, 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 to quote Tigger. And I'll come to that in just a minute. I think that's highly important. I think that's really valid. But it amazes me just how much, every time, just how serious we can get about the gospel, about God's love for us in Jesus, about the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, the fact that we can have intimacy with God, listening for him, that he hears us, that he speaks to us, and even that we can minister in his presence. It's such a humbling thing when you see kids praying for their parents and for each other. And one year at Groundbreakers, the leaders organized this prayer tunnel for the kids. 700 kids, right? All kind of lined up in twos and sort of doing that, making the tunnel. And then they would take turns to go through this prayer tunnel, and the people making the kids making the tunnel would pray for the kids as they went through. It was so profound. Another year at Groundbreakers, at the end of the week, we were able to get them to anoint each other. They had these tiny little containers of oil, and they were anointing each other to go out into the world and share the gospel. And the fact that they were understanding what that means, and that they have this magical, amazing, magical's the wrong word, but just this fantastic reverence that I could see from where I was on the stage for God, and just that moment of meeting with him and being ordained by him. I just get a tingle knowing that they know that they can take this into their everyday lives and might even be less reserved about it and more serious about it than sometimes adults know how to be, certainly more than I know how to be. And we have times of ministry. We've used adult songs in those times. Good, Good Father, such a simple truth, but you know, such a profound song for an adult, and we've been singing that. Here I Am to Worship. Here's one that really gets me. My Lighthouse, Ren Collective. I was so surprised, right, when I heard that song had been shortlisted for a New Wine Kids album, because it's the songwriter and the kind of music analyst part of me is all like, oh, but it's 98% metaphor and it's really deep. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Are kids really going to understand that? You know what? They do. I keep on hearing from parents that it's their children's favorite song ever. You know, and you know, not to the detriment of the old classics. I've had some amazing, profound, unexpected times of ministry with Father God, I wonder. As you know, don't rule it out. And at church, we've often listened out for other songs on adult albums that we could use as well. So one of our favourites at St Paul's is a song called A Million Suns by Hillsong United. That's off the Zion album, which is this mid-tempo thing. And it's kind of about God as creator, but it's got this lovely imagery. You wouldn't think that's the kids' song, but it's got this imagery that just suits actions perfectly, just so well. On the subject of actions, a little word about actions to songs. They're great. I don't know very many actions to songs because I always manage to have a bit of a get-out-of-jail card when it comes to learning them, because I've always got a guitar in my hand, right? And or you know, a keyboard. Or I'm always too busy handling something else. And they're quite humorous. Actions are fun. They're humorous. They're something to have fun with. But don't just leave it there. They're actually a very significant way of communicating and remembering the things that you're talking about. And the same is true of sign language. If you've ever watched a sign language person during the worship at conferences, you'll know that that can be an incredibly moving thing. One of my favorites is, for those listening, I'm doing a bit of an action here, but the song You Alone Can Rescue, I've seen a sign language person sort of take themselves by the hand, and you came down to find us, led us out of death. I think that is so beautiful. So they don't have to just be for the simple songs, the up-tempo songs. They can be for the profound ones as well. The Here I Am to Worships, you know, the song that I was referring to, the Hillsong as well. So yeah, don't underestimate what they can understand. If it's okay with you, I'm going to share a personal testimony which I think also illustrates this, just about sharing the deep truths with the kids and not being afraid to do that. So if you'll indulge me, I hope that's okay. But back in January 2015, my wife and I were expecting our baby boy. And unfortunately, the pregnancy was quite complicated. I'm not going to go into the gory details because we won't. But the baby was absolutely fine. It was just that my wife, Georgie, her body didn't react too well to the pregnancy. And the upshot of it was that she was bedridden for the last 6 months. And the day that all of this kicked off, we raced to the hospital and we got in the lift with these two nurses. And this nurse said, you know, it was a very stressful time. I had to go and park the car. That's stressful in itself in a hospital. And, you know, our mind is in 1,000 places at once. And we get in the lift with these two nurses and the nurse, one of them says, have you heard about these 12 people that have been shot in Paris? And that was the Charlie Hebdo massacre. In January 2015, and I had been following anyway all of the stories about the awful things going on in the Middle East, and from that day on, for about 6 months, I just felt absolutely paralyzed. This fear came over me that I was just absolutely paralyzed with, that this darkness and things were getting worse and the world was going to pot and things were getting closer to home. I was watching the news and trying to read up on the subject, and that just made it worse. I kept wondering what would happen to this country and to Christianity and to my family and what on earth we were doing bringing a little one into a world that was so badly falling apart, where in some places it's so dangerous to be a Christian, and that just seems to be getting worse, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I ended up having to come off Twitter. I deleted my BBC News app. I did all kinds of crazy things to kind of realign my head. But I do remember sitting on the sofa watching Pointless, of all things. And everything just ached, just like my muscles, everything just ached. I was just so tired because I was so filled with this fear. And then one day I was decorating. We had to turn the spare room, which was a music room. It was a music room. but we had to turn it into the baby's room, get it ready for the new boy. And I had the radio on, kind of listening out for whatever hateful thing was going to come out of the news that day. And I just heard this little voice say, John, be the light. Be the light. We're all on a mission. We've all got a job to do. We do it when the Holy Spirit empowers us within. I mean, we've heard Rick talking about this. Be the light. And that phrase prompted me to read and write and think and pray. And it started to fit with this idea that I had had for a riff for a song. And that evolved over the next few weeks. And it started to want to be a kid's song, which was a little strange. And the phrase sort of morphed into carry the light because I thought that was a bit easier to understand. And I did wonder if that was a bit too lofty a concept for kids, but I figured that if I got it down, I could prune it later. And it was a tough thing to prune. There were 4 or 5 verses that just tumbled out, and I knew that I had to get that down to 2 verses max. So I took it to Abby, and we worked on it some more, and she helped me make it more singable, as she always does. But the thought behind the song was the thing that stuck. When the world is darker than the longest night, Lord, that your love would shine through me, I want to go and carry the light. And if I don't drop my guitar again, then I can demonstrate that it sounds like this. It's not very stompy on its own, sorry. Oh God, your love goes on, it has no end. And when I'm down, your love makes me smile again. It's deeper than the sea, high as a kite. I feel it all around me like a glowing light. I told you I was wordy. So take me and shape me. Your will be done in my heart today. Oh, lead me. So we'd see your kingdom come. I wanna shout it proud. I wanna dance and sing. I'm gonna make it loud, louder than everything. So when this world is darker than the longest night, your love would shine through me. I'm gonna go, gonna carry the light. Here's the pop hook. I make no apologies. God bless you, Taylor Swift. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm gonna carry the light. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh God, your love is more strong than all my fear. I'm standing proud and tall knowing you are here. A weird thing happened then. One of the verses that I didn't use that I haven't thought about for about 18 months just popped into my head. In every word I sing and speak and write, I want your love to shine on through so clear and bright. So take me and shape me. Your will be done in my heart today. Oh, lead me so we'd see your kingdom come. I wanna shout it proud. I wanna dance and sing. I'm gonna make it loud, louder than everything. So when this world is darker than the longest night, your love would shine through me. I'm gonna go, gonna carry the light. I'm gonna carry the light. I'm gonna carry the light. Thank you so much. So I'm not the first person to find a happy song coming to them out of a sad situation. It wasn't really where my head is at. The only reason that I told you that story is because I honestly thought that they were quite complex theological thoughts, and I didn't even know if they were that appropriate to talk to the kids about, but it blesses me no end to see that kids do get it. And they took to that song, like, beyond my wildest dreams at Groundbreakers, with a little help from some fab actions, which, again, I don't know. I think carried the woo-oo is, like, carrying a torch or something. But best of all, everybody took on board the thing that it was saying. Now, I've had the absolute honor of being part of the last couple of New Wine Kids albums, and the last one we did last year not only included that song, but in the final stages of us recording that album and mixing it, I noticed something that amazed me. There's 15 songs on that album by lots and lots of different writers, and some of them are famous, some of them were not, some of them are new songs, many of them were, you know, road-tested favourites of kids already. You've got Wren Collective songs on there, you've got Bethel songs on there, there's a Tim Hughes song on there called Plans. And these are pulled from across 5 different kids' groups at New Wine that cover the ages of 0 to 11. That's a lot of kids' leaders and a lot of minds to involve in the process of choosing songs for one album, one resource. But when the album was coming together, I noticed that about 2/3 of the songs on the album carried some kind of overt reference to mission. It's just kids' worship, right? But he said, but this strong theme comes through, and none of it talked about mission in this triumphalist or militant way, but instead it all seemed to carry this potently hopeful acknowledgement that the love of God in Christ really can change the world. And I am so blessed and so challenged and so encouraged and excited. I run out of superlatives. It really seems as though God empowers kids to understand this stuff possibly more than we adults do. So those are my thoughts on, you know, communicating the truth to kids and doing it in a language that they chime with, but not underestimating what they understand and how switched on to God they can be. Everyone with me? Great. Okay, so that leaves me a few moments for the last part, which is having as much fun as possible doing it, okay? Again, I don't know your story. I don't know how good you are at having fun, okay? But this does mean, it does mean making it fun for the kids, of course it does. But what I've learned is, don't do that in a patronizing way. You don't need to put a face on. You don't need to put a facade on when you sing this in a kind of, this is what kids will like, I need to do this because the kids will like it. Because they're going to see through that. They will see through that. They are highly intelligent when it comes to that sort of thing. My experience tells me that it's more important that you have fun yourself, because that's infectious. I think if you're having fun, I guarantee that everyone else in the room will be having fun with you. So for your church, that might or might not mean giving some kind of thought to the services that you have for kids. How many of you have all-age services? Do you do that a lot? Quite most of you. Wow. Amazing. That's great. I'll be honest, at St. Paul's, we don't have that many. We've just found, and we do the kind of family services at Christmas and Easter and one or two other times. It might be that they work better for your church than they do for us. We've found mainly that in our family services, the emphasis soon switches to the kids in the room because of the different way that they engage. So we might, you know, at Christmas time, we might introduce a character. I think one year we had Doctor Who come out of the TARDIS and he kind of presented the gospel to the kids. The rest of the time for us, worship takes place more or less in two contexts. This isn't really that important to you, it's just a bit of backstory. Firstly, we sing a kids' song in the actual morning service. We do that a couple of times a month, and we invite the kids up to the front, and some team members will lead them in the actions, and that's great fun. I get to do a kids' song with a band, Happy John, yeah? Secondly, in the kids' groups themselves, so after that, the kids go into the groups anyway, after the first couple of songs of the service. And we might sing 3 songs, and again, we'll do that with actions in the kids' groups, but this time it's not elaborate at all. If we can, we'll get someone to lead on piano or an acoustic guitar, and we're working hard, we're not always good at it, but we're working hard to make sure that there's someone available for that as much as possible. But for some of you, that might be completely out of the question. You might be looking at YouTube. Incidentally, New Wine Kids have uploaded a load of videos onto YouTube with their stuff, with the lyrics on so that you can follow it. Fantastic stuff. Or even try the backing tracks. There are some great apps out there. I Sing Worship is fantastic, and they're a fantastic website. They're adding songs to that all of the time. Just backing tracks for one person to sing to, or not. You know, I think there's a lead vocal on there as well. But my main strategy for helping to sort of facilitate an atmosphere of fun is just that I try to have fun with the music. Now, I am a bit lucky in that regard because I come from a background of actually playing in function bands for weddings and parties, and I was doing that before I became a Christian. And it's hard to play. You know, we've all been at weddings, right? It's hard to play a lot of those classic party tunes without being willing to get a little bit silly. Sometimes I'd be on gigs. I can think of numerous times I was just not in the mood to be that silly. I was, you know, singing, I don't know, some rock and roll stuff or a bit of Motown, and I would be thinking about my tax return, or I'd be thinking about the cheese that was in the fridge, or, you know, that kind of thing. And I also, the repetition thing, I can't tell you how many times that I was on a gig thinking, if I have to play We Are Family ever again. And I can tell a lot about my clientele by the way that they respond to, hey, baby. Some of you have retained your dignity. The fact is, you can't do that sort of stuff without letting your hair down. I'm lucky I was able to bring that. I had that experience already, and I was able to bring it to singing kids' songs. Kids' worship has the potential to be arguably more stylistically diverse than any other genre you can name. My time at Groundbreakers has required me to play disco, country, calypso, high-energy Little Richard rock and roll, you know, dance stuff, and Shine, if any of you know that one, which is the one that speeds up and speeds up and speeds up and speeds up and speeds up. You might not be used to that. You've learned to be very serious about what you do, because worship is a very serious thing, and I'm not knocking that. But I want to encourage any musicians here who might feel a bit conscious that you have to lead kids in these goofy, simplistic worship songs. The point I'm making is sing, laugh, dance, smile, go for it. Know God's presence in your own life. Get inside his word. Know what it is to hear and love his voice. That is going to radiate you, and it's going to rub off on others if that's what's on your inside. I don't know if any of you know that old Roald Dahl quote. It's from The Twits, which again shows my age. You can have a wonky nose and a crooked mouth and a double chin and stick out teeth, but if you have good thoughts, they will shine out of your face like sunbeams and you will always look lovely. Shine from the inside out that the world will see you live in me. Roald Dahl didn't say that bit. It's for you. It's for kids, but it's for you. It's for us. So many truths in the kids' worship are for you. These things that I wrote on the board that we came up with together, they're for us. They're not just for kids. So I hope I can encourage you that kids' worship is an area where you can let off some steam. And I found that that's just as spiritually healthy as anything else, as part of a balanced diet of worship. You want a biblical precedent for that? Remember the undignified David dancing. Remember the extravagant language of the Psalms and Paul's prayers. Those guys went there. Wherever there is, they went there. And then remember 9-year-old King Josiah bringing the whole nation back to God. And remember Jesus allowing children to come to him, because it's such as these that enter the kingdom of heaven. And unless we become like a child, unless we become like a child. Again, with this fun thing, I'm going to reiterate a point that I made in the last part, which is worship leaders, get alongside your kids' pastors, and kids' pastors, get your worship leaders involved. Get alongside them. It needs all of us. A practical thought is that you may well get kids involved in some of the singing and helping with the actions if one or two of them feeling confident enough. Definitely get teenagers involved in actions. They love it. And if their parents are happy with that, we've been raising up some of our youth. In fact, Joss, who's with me today, is super keen. He does amazing work in the kids' ministries specifically. We were just reflecting on our way up here about the kind of training ground for him that's been, and how exciting that's been. Here's another token scripture about children in worship in the Bible. Mark 9:37. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. What a thing to remember as we come to lead kids in worship. You are all doing an amazing job. You're on the front line. You're doing a fantastic job. So, serious question, and it sounds cliched, but it's a serious question. What if the kids we get to look after and engage in worship turn out to be like those people that Jesus was talking about? What if they're the ones who changed the world? What if the little ones in your care turn out to be the ones who carry the light and bring the kingdom to those around them? Do you have the faith that they might be? Because they could be. And so back to that scripture that we started with, the Proverbs one, the Whitney Houston one, and start children off on the way that they should go, even when they're old, they'll not turn from it. In all seriousness, here's the one, is one of the many privileges in leading kids in worship. Soon those kids are going to be all grown up. They're going to be off out into the big wide world with its politics and its deadlines and its social conventions, but they're going to remember the songs that you sang them. God bless you guys that have been at it for 20 years. You've seen a lot of people come and go. But I remember all of the truths that I was taught in songs, in school assemblies back when we had those. And on some deep level, I think I still remember some of those songs, and they still resonate with me because songs are so powerful. I'm hoping to take some Q&A. God bless you. You've been listening to me for far too long. But I'd like to just sum up. I'm going to sing this one song that I just think sums up everything that I think I'm trying to say and everything I think I've learned. And just about how much God is for these kids, but also about having such fun and communicating that truth. And this is by Nigel Hemming, who wrote Great Big God. And it always makes me want to push myself vocally, this song, so apologize for any kind of yodeling that follows. This is called Jesus Superhero. Who fixed the eyes of a man who had always been blind? Wow! Went to a wedding and turned all the water into wine. Splash! Who told his friends where to fish so they could fill their nets? Heave! Then walked on the water but didn't even get his feet wet. Jesus Superhero! Jesus Superhero! Jesus Superhero! He's the only one that could save the world. Here we go. Oh no. Hey! The broken strap. Verse 2. Who told his friends where to fish so they... No. Oh, no. Who made a feast out of just a bit of fish and bread? Healed a man even though he was already dead. Ew. Silenced the wind and the waves for all to see. Stop. Then he died on the cross, came alive that I can be free. Jesus Superhero, Jesus Superhero, Jesus Superhero, he's the only one that could save the world. And when I'm scared, I know he's there for me. Just call to him to come and rescue me. And when I'm scared, I know he's there for me. Just call to him to come and rescue me. Come and rescue me. Jesus Superhero. Jesus Superhero. Jesus Superhero. He's the only one that could save the world. So I'm going to buy a new guitar strap. Before that, I'd love to take any questions that you might have or anything that you'd like to share. That's a good one. There's one. One happy customer. Fantastic. Okay. Well, I don't know if she's happy. Gosh.
Our I'm just desperate to know how you incorporate worship into your... So we all join together at the beginning of a service, and then the children go off into their groups. And then, so what is the model of... You go live into the small groups, do you?
And again, this is, you know, no hard and fast rule about this. It's just what we found to work for us. We will normally start the service with a sort of a pre-service song, which gets people slowly away from the coffee and into the service. And then we have an opener, so the actual opening kind of call to worship song. And then the second main song of the service is the kids' song. So that's when we invite the kids up, and we have fun with the actions and all of that. Usually from there, we will pray with the kids, or pray for the kids. Service leader prays for them, and then the kids help us show them out to the groups. And there are different groups for sort of 0 to 11s again. So, you know, there's toddlers ones, there's 3 to 4s, and then there's... most of those... So the... much like New Wine, actually, you've got the sort of 5 to 8s and then the sort of 9 to 10s. And they tend to come together at the end of the service, or towards the end of the service. And then in our church hall, they have sort of that time of worship that I was talking about with the sort of the three songs.
That's at the end of that.
That's
the end of the morning.
That's while the sermon is going on in the main church, and, you know, all of that sort of thing, and ministry. And hello. I like your cardigan. Is it?
Just thinking about when you said we bring the children forward and we sing with them. And I was thinking about the culture of your church and with all the adults and all the generations. How do they respond to that? And are you really bringing them with the kids? And are they up there meeting God in the same place? Or are they sitting back saying, there's the kids' stuff now and I'm just going to wait until the real worship kind of thing, which is obviously we know absolutely not the case. But
I would say the culture of our morning services is very families anyway. So, you know, if you're a mum or a dad and you're bringing your kids there, they tend to be quite invested, and, you know, they sort of understand the need and the power for that. You know, parents are totally for you guys, absolutely, in the main. There are some adults who are, okay, this song's got actions, what am I going to do with this? But it's generally a very fun and a very upbeat thing. The meeting with God stuff happens in the groups, really. That's where ministry happens to the kids. It's where sort of we're drawn into a slightly more intimate place in worship as well. Does that help?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about how you communicate from the front to really raise expectations in the adults and understanding that this isn't just a kid's song. As in, you know, to produce a culture where the recognition of the power of what God does through these children, in these children, and we can receive in that place as well, whether it be in a great, having great fun, jumping out, having a laugh, you still meet God in that place.
It's a question worth thinking about. I would say that some of that, choose your kids' songs wisely. Make sure that they, make sure that they, what they say is deep. And remember, this is deep. This stuff is deep. But also, I suppose that ties in a little bit with the fact that we've used adult songs as well as kind of the upbeat kids' ones. It could be communicated more, I guess, that we, you know, hey guys, this is a big thing. We're not just doing this for a laugh. But it's an opportunity for parents to be with families. That didn't make any sense. For families to be with their kids and for kids to be with their families. Because particularly with up to the age of about 4, you actually get a lot of parents come down to the front with their kids. And they help them with the actions, and you know, that's always a lovely thing to see. So definitely encourage the parents as well to come down, depending on the age of your kids. Okay.
Thank you. In the absence of a rather lovely, young, enthusiastic guitar-playing worship leader out with our kids, do you recommend...
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Yeah, I'm working on it. CD player, is that the next best option, do you think?
I'm not knocking that. Then it may be that that works for you. It may be that singing without accompaniment works for you. I've had some amazing, uplifting times of worship where people are just singing. They haven't got an instrument. That actually happened at a wedding. This is by the by. That happened at a wedding where the organist didn't turn up. My friend, it was just... Anyway. But I kid you not, best Shine Jesus Shine ever, because everyone just went for it. Anyway, yeah, as I say, check out, you're obviously with things like YouTube, you're typing in specific song titles and that sort of thing, but have a look at what's there. You'll find some really good resources. You'll find, you know, where, and as I say, the words come up on the screen, on the video, and, you know, that's really good. There's loads of good stuff out there. Nothing wrong with CD players if that works for you as well, but it obviously is a little bit more fiddly if you're changing discs and that kind of thing. Okay.
Sorry, it's our corner again. Just from your experience of actually going into the kids' groups and doing worship, you did that, right?
Yeah.
We've got a lot of kind of boys who are at the top end of our kids, probably about to go into youth. They're kind of like 10, 11.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The football boys. Mm. And... they literally just sit at the back and are like, we ain't doing that.
Of course.
How do you get any, like, have you had that experience? Any tips?
I have. Don't underestimate how influential you're being. Different kids will resonate with, you know, I mean, many of them might resonate with adult worship. And I think, so if you're looking at, when New Wine kids are looking at that from the perspective of choosing songs, for example, they're actually doing a lot of the kind of cooler, more hip adult stuff. So they're doing Guardian, they're doing Every Giant Will Fall, they're doing You Make Me Brave, they're doing these kind of contemporary worship songs that that you might or might not put actions to. But I would say, and that you might find that helpful, you might not. But don't underestimate how influential you're being.
Maybe you should let them choose a song. Oh.
Or if you get the girls to make actions to one song and the boys to make actions for the same song... and then a competition as to which actions are best, and especially if there's some kind of in relation to football. I don't know. I can't think of any song that's Christian that has in relation to football. But
do you know what? I'm going to work on that. That's a great idea. That's actually a fantastic way in, what you've suggested there. It's a great way into the idea of getting your teenagers or your nearly teenagers involved. Get them involved. Get them on board. If they're showing kids stuff, that works for everybody. You know, it really does. Okay. It's been lovely spending this time with you. Thank you so much for coming. I'm only seeing like 5 people turn up, so I'm assuming the seminars have been really good in the other rooms. But we're gonna meet 5 minutes ago for worship. So I'll stay here.
Thank you very much.